This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
We got Don LaGreca at 623.
That's right.
That's the answer!
Donnie, let me ask you a question. I actually played in the NHL.
Oh, my God.
Played in the Olympics and other things like that that have to do with hockey. You are the voice of the Rangers. Are you offended at all they didn't ask you to do a hockey show on Saturday?
No. Dave's a hockey guy, and they wanted him to do it.
He's not a hockey guy. Stop yourself.
Everybody's asked me that. Like, aren't you offended?
See?
Everybody wants to start trouble.
Thank you, Don.
This is DCR.
And I hope my mom is sleeping. Please, God, let her be sleeping.
When I left, she was still asleep, Dave.
You jerk.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Well, the big 7 o'clock hour, 98.7 ESPN. It is DCR. Mike Tenenbaum at 7:35. You've been in a mood today, by the way. You really have been.
I'm in a good mood.
No, I don't feel like that's true at all. I mean, the Knicks have a great win last night, and you opened the show. I mean, if there is a way for you to give me a hard time today, you do it. Every conceivable way. My Little League drafting and coaching, my hockey show. I mean, why is this happening with us?
I think what do you want? You want me to just say only nice things to you every single day?
Well, occasionally a nice thing would be great.
Not at all. Today's not that day.
Clearly not. Will you be nicer to me tomorrow? But I'm always nice to you.
No,
I should stop being nice to you.
You do what you need to do. I guess today's one of those days where, you know, all of this pent up emotion just came spilling out.
I think this is because you got pooped on by your son.
Yeah, I got pooped on.
There's backlash happening.
There's people that are tweeting me that I breastfed till I was 6 years old because of you.
Well, that's weird.
I didn't breastfeed till I was 6.
Now you make it. You're taking shots at me which are unfounded.
I did not breastfeed till I was 6.
Listen, just own it. The it'll be easier for you if you just own that and admit that it happened and move forward with it.
I was the only kid in kindergarten that mom had to come for snack time so I could have a drink.
And little Rick, why do you not have snack? Because mom's not here yet, and I'm starving. That's why.
It was Boober Eats.
All right, Knicks with a great win. Really, and I mean this sincerely, a great win last night. I mean, they were up big. Then it got closed. Then they fell behind, and then they just blew out the Lakers in the fourth quarter. I mean, Rick, I don't know what else there is to say about this team. For the expectations to what they've turned themselves into, this has been a really fun, terrific season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess especially a night last night where they shot so poorly. I mean, they were under 20% from three. R.J. Barrett offensively, it wasn't good at all. I mean, he ended up with 7 points. Alec Burks, who's been awesome for you lately, I mean, he gave you 2 points. So, I mean, for Alfred Payton to step up the way that he stepped up, Taj Gibson and Nerlens Noel to play as well as they've played. The defense was great. Turnovers. I mean, you name it. Last night, I mean, it's a testament to what this team has done because they bought in. But what Thibs always preaches is obviously hard work, which we see consistently. It's intensity. It's great team defense. And this team consistently does those things. And that's why they're at a point now where, I mean, they're a game over 500. They're right in the middle of this thing. They've won 3 straight. And I mentioned this to open the show. I mean, what I love about this team is there's been so many years, especially recently, where you turn over, you turn on a Knicks game and they're playing at MSG. And we always hear, oh, yeah, you know, guys would love to come play for the Knicks. It's the Mecca. No, they like coming to play at Madison Square Garden because they like to have career nights and then they get to leave. And it's midway through the third quarter, and you look over on the sideline, and guys are,
all flipping bottles.
Oh, it's just too much. And now at least we're at a point where, I mean, this team at home has been really good. I mean, they're 17-10 at home. You had the stat last night where, when they lead going to the fourth quarter at home, they're 15-0, they're undefeated. Like, that's all we've ever wanted as Knicks fans. Like, we don't sit here and say, yeah, we got to win a championship, or we got to make a long run in the playoffs. Just we want a team that's it. Play hard, play good defense, and protect your house. And they've done that so far this season.
But how many times have you heard, and we're going to talk Knicks, so line them up, 800-919-3776. How many times have you heard, well, you say that if you're rebuilding, that if teams give effort, that if you play hard defensively, that if you finish 500, if you sneak into the playoffs, you say you're going to support that, but it's New York and you won't. But the fact is, they've done it with the Rangers, they're doing it with the Knicks, and I think you can rebuild here. And I think the way that both of these teams at the Garden have done it are the exact examples that the fan will be very supportive of that.
Well, because they're having success while they're doing it. I mean, they turned Julius Randle into an all-star. He's having his best season as a pro. R.J. Barrett is getting better in front of your face. And they're ahead of schedule. Like, I don't care how much you love the Knicks. There's no way you thought the Knicks would be where they're at right now.
No way.
There's no chance.
What was their over-under? 22? 22 and a half?
I think it was 22 and a half, yeah.
They've blown past it with 17 games left this season.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you, Dave. Do I think they'll win if they end up making it to a legitimate playoff series? Do I think they'll win a playoff series? No, I probably don't think they're going to win a playoff series. But they'll be a pain in the ass to play against.
Oh, I was reading the other day that Kevin Durant, is this true, didn't come back against the Knicks that night because they play such a physical brand of basketball and decided to come back the game after?
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
I mean, that's unbelievable if that's true.
They're a tough team to play against.
Yeah, but if I'm Tom Thibodeau and I'm a member of the Knicks, it's like, wow. Like, I wear that like a badge of honor. He didn't want to come back to play against us because we're too tough.
Of course you do. Of course you do. I mean, that's what he's trying to build here. And so far, so good. I mean, I think last night was a really good example of that. How hard they play defensively.
They do. And every night. And it never goes away. And it never takes a break. Let's get to some of the calls. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Justin in Far Rockaway. Good morning, Justin. You're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. How you doing, Justin?
All is well, driving in to work. Listen, Tibbs is the guy, first and foremost. You know, always been a guy. I love this guy. Not only that, we're playing hard, but we're also doing player development. I'm loving the fact that we didn't do any quick fixes during this trade deadline. My one takeaway, the one thing that bothers me, and I want to hear what you guys think on this, Julius Randle is overly handling the ball. 50 feet away, it frustrates me, especially when Derrick Rose is right next to you.
Yep.
You getting the ball passed to, like, you're the point guard. I think that will hurt us later on. Some of those close games early on when we lost because he turned over the ball, you know, some of those things matter. And, you know, a lot of those games did matter. But I think that he's overly handling the ball. That's my only takeaway. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I don't disagree with you at all. I mean, he starts in. You saw that. I mean, last night you see it. I had 7 turnovers last night. I think with the team in general, when teams all of a sudden switch up to that zone defense and it becomes a lot of one-on-one, like how many times do you see last night where they'll try to, like if it's Elfrid Payton, if it's Julius Randle, head down, dribble into a double team,
yeah,
jump up and then try to figure out where the hell the ball's going. Like that's, I mean, but
it
again,
happens all the time. But I think that if you had a legitimate point guard that you wouldn't have anything like this.
I agree with you 100%. But, I mean, see, that's where when, and I appreciate the phone call, when you call and say, I'm glad they didn't make a move at the deadline, but that's, and then criticize Julius Randle for handling the ball too much, he's got no choice.
He has to, right. It's hard to beat up the way he's played this season. Last year, he was, for me, it was almost unwatchable, but he's a far improved player from last to this.
No, but you can see, because the caller is right, there are certain times during games when he tries to do too much. And he'll get into those same kind of habits he was in last year, where all of a sudden he get caught in a double team, he'll get trapped, and he'll turn the ball over because he's got nowhere to go with it.
Yeah, but if you had a real point guard, I think it'd look a lot different. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show, PRV, the Goodyear Hotline. Let's get back to the calls. Let's go to Spike down in Florida. No more of this Jersey stuff. Spike, good morning.
Good morning, my friends. Listen, it was great last night because if you look at the box score, the Lakers had 25, I believe, turnovers and fewer assists. You rarely see that. And when the Knicks can shoot that lower percentage and win the game going away at the end, it's terrific. The problem for the last caller, he made a good point, but when your two best ball handlers, basically a Randle who's kind of loose with the ball, and Payton who can't shoot till half a night like last night every 4 or 5 games, it's Dave, Rick, it's back to the same thing. No point guard, and they're winning, which shows you the acumen and the buying in that Thibodeau has. These guys love him. Burks and Bullock are very inconsistent. If you get them both shooting threes well, you're going to win easily. You just need one of them to make a big shot. It's terrific to watch because Babbitt had an off game offensively, but defensively, he was terrific.
Yeah, you need to quickly hit shots, too. I mean, when
which is hit or miss at this point now.
Yeah, but when Quickly's going in that second unit, when he can make shots, it makes a huge difference. Humongous difference. Because he's right. I mean, but Alec Burks has been great. He wasn't good last night, but he's been great. But there, I mean, there's inconsistency. When you look at that starting five, I mean, Noel is not a threat offensively. Peyton was really good last night, but shooting-wise, he's not a great shooter. R.J. Barrett's been really good, but again, it's why it drove me crazy during the draft that we've talked about this. It seems like every single year we talk about the same exact thing with the Knicks. They need to find a point guard. They need to find a point guard.
Yep.
And then you're sitting there, and you got Seth Greenberg and all these different people. All I heard, the Bobby Marks, I've never had a better sit-down than with Tyrese Haliburton. Never in my entire life. And he's sitting there, and again, they got who they wanted. But now, when you look at what Haliburton looks like in Sacramento.
It's true, but here's the thing. It's a lot easier to tolerate being that you're at least good, right? At least you're a good team. If you were 14-42 right now, you'd be like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, we passed by this guy again. At least you're good. At least you have guys playing at a high level. Randall's a terrific player. Barrett has made huge strides. We talk about Bullock and Alec Burks and Quickly and Rose. I mean, and Thibodeau. There is reason for optimism. Could you imagine what you'd feel like if they stunk right now?
No, I understand that. But again, and you're right, but I think you're also wrong, though, because you can't sit here and complain that you don't have a point guard and that's the one missing piece and then not be a little bit concerned about the decision in the draft. You have to be a little bit concerned.
I'm not going to beat them up over that. I'm not. I mean, you found a gem in Quickly. Yeah, you made a mistake. I think that they would.
Yeah, but it's Quickly
right
a real point guard,
a
though.
Mistake.
But that's the other issue. Is Quickly a guy who's going to facilitate the offense?
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
Guard. I think you need a legitimate point guard. Let's go to Dave in East Meadow. Dave, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show so far.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave.
I got 2 points. The first, last night's game, I'm really glad you guys pointed out about Noel and Gibson because. It wasn't even so much the scoring they filled in, but the defense. I mean, I don't know. They must have blocked like 6 shots between them. And the whole team was so active getting their hands on balls and knocking them out of people's hands. And that's a credit not just to Thibs, but I'm sure the whole entire coaching staff. And I also love the way Thibs, it reminds me of like a high school gym, the way you can hear him actively coaching throughout the game. And this coaching staff has done such a great job because if you notice, the roster is 90% the same as last year when we couldn't guard a three-pointer. And my second point is next year, free agency, I think the number one guy we need to target is Lonzo Ball because I think you're right. Again, that's exactly what we need.
That's the missing piece right now. I mean, as far as coming in and building the foundation, a culture, guys, you know, it looks like guys love playing for the coaching staff. Guys love playing for each other, which is half the battle. So, yeah, I mean, they're definitely headed in the right direction. And the fact that, I mean, in all honesty, when you look at talent-wise what this team is, and
They're milking this thing dry of how
it's
much.
It's amazing.
Yeah, he's doing a phenomenal, phenomenal job.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to make, what's especially that? In the 7 o'clock hour, they only for really high-end, exclusive close friends of the show.
All right, so let me put you to the test now. Does Mike Tenenbaum meet that criteria?
Yes.
Does Buster Olney meet
yes.
that criteria? Does Adam Schefter, your friend, meet that criteria?
Close friend, yes.
Have you texted Schefter yet?
I have not. He said after the draft.
But you just texted him like, hey, it's Rick. Just want to make sure you have my number too.
Well, he has money. Do you know how much is going on with Adam Schefter right now? He's got multiple phones.
I'm not
phones.
Saying you need even a response, but just to, hey, let's just keep the conversation going.
I mean, listen, maybe at some point I'll say, hey, what's up? Just wanted to check in, see everything, you know, how you doing.
I think you should. Or how about like draft night or the day before? Hey, it's Rick. Just want to wish you good luck at the draft.
You idiot.
That's a good one. With no,
right?
With not expecting a response, hey, just good luck.
Yeah. Don't even respond.
That's, I usually, like, I'll sprinkle those into Matt. Like, that'll be my text to Matt. Like, I don't need you to text me back. Just, hey.
Matt Harvey.
Yeah, let's, come on.
That's right. I'm thinking about you. When things calm down a little bit, I'm here, and we'll pick it up then.
Exactly
I like
right.
That could be effective.
Like, maybe that's what I'll send to you. Like, when I find out when your first rec baseball game is,
I believe it's April the 24th.
April the 24th. No, yeah. No pressure to text me back. Just, hey, thinking about you. Let's get the dub.
I'm worried about attendance for the better kids in that game.
Why don't you just tell them, listen, there's an expectation.
Because they play travel baseball, a lot of these kids. They play like hockey. They're not going to come to a rec baseball game.
Well, then you got to be a good coach. And if they don't show up or they consistently miss, then you got to play, even though you may lose, you're going to have to play the kids that show up.
Here's what you're going to appreciate by me. So, because I know that this is an issue. So I texted some of the kids' parents that I know that I'm friendly with, and their kids are really good. And I said, listen, promise me they'll be at the postseason games. That's all I'm looking for. Regular season, hit or miss, fine. Promise me they'll be at the postseason. They said, we will get those kids to the postseason games. So that's it. I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking playoffs.
Yeah, that's already like a guarantee in playoffs. I mean, that's going to be...
Well, everybody makes the playoffs.
Okay. I was going to say otherwise. That's rec league.
No.
Bulletin
board
material right there.
We in fact are guaranteed with the playoffs.
Dude, how about this? So, you know, we had the season here and we had like three games or whatever it ended up being just kind of with COVID and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we got baseball and everything. There's lacrosse, baseball is going on at the school right now. So, like, I haven't even sat down with the athletic director or scheduling. I already get an email from one of the schools in our league. Hey, we're just finishing up our schedule. Does this date work?
For next season?
For next season.
Oh, my God.
I was like, so I called him. I'm like, okay, so you're already doing your schedule? He's like, yeah, we're pretty much done. We only have this date available. I'm like, okay, well, put us down for that date. And I was like, by the way, how many games are you guys playing next season? He's like, probably somewhere between 36 or 40.
What?
I was like, what?
Off a season of three?
Yeah, well, yeah, pretty much.
Good luck with that. All right, let's go to Jay in Queens. Good morning, Jay. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Hello?
Uh-oh. Jay, what's up?
No, he's gone.
We lost Jay.
He's gone. That's it. I think you might have
Jay was
going to
ask a good question, too. He was going to bring up...
So?
No, he's going to bring up Thibs for Coach of the Year.
He won't
win it, but he should be in that conversation.
Yeah, I would say deserving of votes, but he's not going to win Coach of the Year. Quinn Snyder's probably going to win your Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, Utah, Phoenix. I mean, what Phoenix is doing is special.
Yeah, Monty Williams, right? He's a great story, by the way.
He's a fantastic story.
I mean,
you see what happened
now? If you don't like Monty Williams, you have real problems.
You got real issues. Do you see what happened with Denver yesterday?
With Jamal Murray?
Yeah, that's brutal.
That's bad.
Real bad.
That looked really bad. He's their second best player. That's a huge loss for them.
Humongous loss for them.
Yeah, tremendous loss. I don't know how they rebound from that, really. I mean, because I think they would have had a chance to go to the Western Conference Finals, but losing him, I don't know that you will.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially with what you saw happen last season. I know it was, you know, the bubble and everything else, but, I mean, that Denver team is legit. They got the MVP on their team, don't they, Dave?
Oh, they do, in fact, have the MVP on their team. I admit it.
If James Harden needed me to, whenever he wanted,
to
come massage the hammy, just to get him back so I still had a chance at winning this bet, I would do it.
He's done. He's not coming back for a while. He's
some
done.
Cupping. If you wanted some cupping, some acupuncture, whatever it took.
Cupping is creepy, by the way.
Why? Because the marks at least?
People look like they're abused when you see them out in public after
cupping. Who abuses people with cups like
that? I mean, it's an ancient torture device, the cupping. Julius Randle on the MVP chance that he receives at the Garden.
It's cool, man. You know, the love, you know, that you get in the Garden, that the fans are showing me is amazing. It's good, man. It feels really good, honestly. I'm not going to lie. More for me, it's just about motivating me, you know, to keep working harder and keep bringing it every night.
All right, here's a question for you. Maybe it's awful. I don't know your level of questioning and what it needs to be at. If you had a vote that you could give your vote to either, you had to choose one, Randle MVP or Thibodeau as Coach of the Year, where would you go?
Well, that's a great question.
So I actually got a great question, huh?
That was a really good question. Oh, man, if you're going strictly by the definition of MVP, which I think it should, I think it should be two separate awards. I don't know how Randle's not in that conversation of what this team is. He's clearly the best player, but I would probably say Thibs.
Thibs, huh?
Coach of the Year. Yeah, just because, I mean, what he's done, I mean, Randle's had a great season. I mean, his best as a pro, but just to see the development of RJ Barrett, like the coaching staff in general has been phenomenal.
Terrific. They've done a great job. Let's go to Mike in Seabright. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7.
Hey, pretty unrelated, but I was having this conversation yesterday. So I'm 30 years old. The average age is 81 that you pass away in this country.
I'm a Met fan, a Jet fan, and a Knicks fan. What happens first? I die in 51 years, or one of those teams wins a title?
No, you'll see title.
But yeah, I think you'll see a title. I think you'll see a Mets title.
That's 150 years of sports, you're telling me. 50 years, three teams,
okay,
150 years,
team.
You'll see a title.
Go through my teams. Go through my teams. I've been alive 30 years. I see nothing. What to say 51 more years, nothing's going to happen.
Why don't you, Mike? Why don't you become Mike? Why don't you come over to the Blue and Orange and be an Islanders fan?
No, because I live in Central New Jersey. So if I do that, it kind of takes away from my whole thing of at least you have the Islanders. When I really don't, so I don't really care about hockey.
Hey, he can't do that. He's not a fraud. He's just going to pick up and leave and pick
what
up.
What do you mean, Don's got a New Jersey Devils tattoo, and now all of a sudden he's a Rangers fan
because he calls the games for the Rangers.
So if you call the games,
so let me see if I understand this. You are calling Don a fraud.
And Don is a humongous fraud.
No!
He's a huge fraud. If Dave Rothenberg all of a sudden, out of nowhere, got a phone call to be the voice of the Dallas Cowboys.
I would not do it.
No, you would do it.
No, I would not.
Okay, we'll pay you $2 million a year to be the voice of the Cowboys.
I would probably do it. The Campbell Camels.
Yeah, you would do it, but you would still be a Giants fan. You wouldn't all of a sudden start rooting for the Cowboys.
I would probably get in trouble. They're like, why did you sound so happy when that play happened? I don't know. It's a big play.
Because you're not a fraud.
No. I would never, ever. You could not pay me enough money to root for the Cowboys.
I think the Mets, before he dies, I think the Mets will...
They better.
...will win a championship.
They better. Come on, you got to figure that all of his teams are going to win a championship before he dies at 81, no?
I'm not that confident that all three will win.
And he sounded much older than 30, by the way. He's had
no.
a tough 30. Yeah, much older than 30.
I will tell you what. Trying to figure out how old people are, I can't even.
Oh, you got to be careful, too.
Well, you always go younger. You have to go younger. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
I'm not great at that. And then once I made this the catastrophic mistake, I'm like, when are you due?
Pregnant. Yeah, bad.
I'm not
bad
pregnant.
Call.
Never make that again.
No, you
it
didn't.
It was awful.
Why? What's the benefit? Let me ask you a question. What's the benefit?
I need definite help.
Yeah, you do. What's the benefit of asking or saying, not knowing the person, of saying, when are you due?
Because I thought she was pregnant.
Yeah, but why not just eliminate the possibility that something like that, God forbid, happens? Just don't even say. Like, you don't know the person. Don't even say anything.
Well, you know what? I was younger. I was naive. I was convinced she was pregnant. And I didn't say, like, when are you due? I think I said, are you having a boy or a girl? She's like, for what? I was like, nothing.
Are you having, look, twins, huh?
Nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. So this is weird. And I tease this and I want to pay off the tease. If I would say to you honestly, they're making a show, a movie or whatever about Sean Payton. Do you think that Kevin James would be the last person you would choose to play Sean Payton?
The last person?
Yes.
He would not be at the top of my list, no.
I mean, is that not miscast? That Kevin James is going to play Sean Payton in this Netflix vehicle?
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't really look like Sean Payton at all.
Not even a little bit?
No. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because he loves sports. But I don't think that he would. You gave me a list of 10 people. I don't think that Kevin James would be on that list.
No. Matthew Broderick, you'd choose him over Kevin James.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Hank Azaria? I mean, there's a million guys you would choose over Kevin James. Kevin James would be like the last guy you would choose.
Hank Azaria in The Birdcage could be one of my favorite performances in the history of movies.
Yeah, he is sensational.
As the pool boy, is one of my, it's the best.
The best.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
And we are as punctual as humanly possible. Let's bring him in. One of our favorites. He makes the cut if we start to eliminate guests in the 7 o'clock hour, and that is Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Once again, on time without Canny. I don't know. We're just connecting dots here, fellas.
Well, I think you're figuring things out. I mean, we scheduled you for 7:35. RJ called you literally at 7:35.
Yeah, it's we could set the atomic clock to the DCR punctuality. I love it.
It really is sensational stuff. All right. So here's my question for you. Sam Darnold dealt. We know that. What do you think he's going to do in Carolina? Do you expect big things from him? I asked the guys earlier in the show, how good do you think he can possibly be down there in Carolina?
I think he's going to be good, guys. I think he's 8-8, 9-7 quarterback. I think he'll have a career similar to Kirk Cousins, where he'll be a representative starting NFL quarterback. I think the one flaw in his game is his proclivities of turning the ball over, and he's going to have to clean that up. And if we're being fair about it, guys, as much as we like him and his character, if you go back to USC, there's been 5 years of it, and he's turned the ball over 46 times as an NFL player.
Yeah, see, Mike, that's for me the biggest concern. And again, I mean, having experienced, you know, something where you're a high draft pick, lots of pressure and everything else, things don't really turn out the way that you hoped. I mean, I guess my biggest concern for Sam, and I think it was good, he needed a fresh start, the Jets needed a fresh start, is how much damage has already been done, and is Carolina gonna be patient with Sam? Because it feels like with that ownership group, like they're always, like they're looking to upgrade that position in a big way.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. But I think fundamentally, guys, we have to remember that the quarterback position is a developmental position. And I know it's going back, it seems like generations, but, you know, Chad Pennington at the Jets sat for 2 years before he played. And, you know, the rest is history. And, you know, we can certainly talk about guys like Ryan Tannehill who benefited from a fresh start. I think it just takes some time. And these guys come out and their offenses are different than they are in the NFL, and it takes time. So I think you bring a great point about, you know, they have a hard-charging new owner in David Tepper. You know, will they be patient and allow him to grow and develop? And one thing that you do to me when you run a company, be it an NFL team or anything else, like bet on character, bet on talent. And we know that, you know, Sam Darnold has a lot of both of those things.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we know, or we're as close to knowing as we possibly could, that the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson second overall in the draft in a couple of weeks. Who's the comp? Who do you compare Zach Wilson to, a quarterback that we've seen at some point in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, Dave, I've been spending a lot of time on that, and this is going to scare people, but it's really more of on the field. But, you know, if you think about a guy like Johnny Manziel, like athletically with a great arm, there's actually, to me, some Aaron Rodgers, some Patrick Mahomes in him. I've seen him in person. I'd like to see him get a little bit bigger, especially from the waist down, where can he withstand the rigors of the NFL? Like, if I was Joe Douglas, the one thing that would keep me up at night is this guy going to be able to play now 17 games, balls in his hands a lot, outside the pocket? Can he protect himself? Like, he has great accuracy down the field. Not good, great accuracy. But the durability would be my only concern.
Mike, I was always interested in this. You know, having gone through the draft process, some of the things that, you know, GMs, scouts, the questions they ask, the things they focus on. For you, in those rooms, when you're meeting with these players, especially the quarterback position, how important are those individual meetings when you're making your final determination whether or not you're taking the player?
You know, Rick, I think a lot of times we're eliminating people, and it's amazing how many times we've had quarterbacks leave a room and they're gone. Like, they are literally dead to us. And that's usually when they're blaming others, because what coaches will do is they'll put on, hey, let's look at two great plays and let's look at two interceptions. Why did this interception happen? And you'd hear things like, oh, it was a bad play call, or the receiver ran the wrong route, or the tackle got beat. And, like, that's the worst thing you want. You know, you're looking for a battlefield commander. You're looking for a guy that's absorbing blame and dishing out credit. And we use those meetings really as a filter to eliminate people that we don't feel are our type of, you know, like from a character standpoint, our type of guy.
All right, Mike, I have a kind of a hypothesis about what the Giants should do, and I want to run it by you. They pick 11, we know that. They could use somebody to get to the quarterback on defense. Of course, we know that. Someone in the secondary as well. All understood. The thing I need answered this year from the Giants is Daniel Jones going to be the quarterback. I have to know that answer, whether it's in the affirmative or the negative. I'm going to do the opposite of what the Jets did for Sam Darnold. I'm going to do everything humanly possible. So if it's me, and I want your take on it, I'm either going to go offensive line to make it as strong as humanly possible, a receiver, if Pitts is there. Like, I need to add another piece to make it, I know whether he's good or I know if he's not good. Is that crazy or is that valid thinking?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely crazy. I'm going to go get Quiddy Pay, Azeez Ojulari from Georgia. I'm going to get a corner, maybe Newsome from Northwestern, depending on who else is there. I'd love it if Patrick Surtain was there for the Giants, because, Dave, at some point, the job description of the quarterback, it's like you, Dave. You're the quarterback of DCR. You elevate, you know, Chris and Rick. Like, we need Daniel Jones to elevate the play of those around him. That's his job description. So you're not going to have the perfect player there every time. And that's, do you want to lose games 49-47, or do you want to win a game 14-10? And at some point, Daniel Jones, make a play with your feet when it's 3rd and 8. At some point, check it down to the backup running back. Like, That's your job description.
Yeah, we're still waiting on that, Mike, for Dave to elevate us.
You see what I have to deal with? You know what? Because they're bad teammates, Mike, and I didn't want to have to say that, but you see it very evidenced by that comment from him.
What you just said is exactly why once you had a meeting with Tannenbaum, you'd be dead to him, because you just blamed everyone but yourself.
I didn't blame
anybody.
It's
Chris's fault. It's Rick's
fault.
You
went after me, Mike. Mike, did he go after me?
We're going to have to run it back. I don't know. We're going to have to – you're throwing the challenge, but we're going to have to run it back here, fellas.
We've run things back, and you've denied them anyway in the past. But continue along, Rick.
All right, Mike. So let me ask you a question.
So
we all think Zach Wilson is going with the second overall pick to the Jets. I mean, Shefty's convinced. He's sending text messages and everything else. Close friend of mine, by the way, Shefty. Third overall pick. It feels like it's going to be Mac Jones. Are you surprised at all by that? I understand that, you know, the way Kyle Shanahan runs his system and everything else, but to give up as much as they gave up, are you convinced that it's going to be Mac Jones at three?
I'm 100% convinced. I'd be floored if it wasn't Mac Jones. Wow. And, you know, this guy is a more athletic Matt Ryan. And I think when we look at, you know, the success Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, has had when he was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons, you know, Matt Ryan, they went to the Super Bowl. He's been successful with Matt Schaub in Houston, Kirk Cousins in Washington, and I think Mac Jones really fits that style. He's not the athlete that Justin Fields or Trey Lance is, doesn't have their arm strength, but he's a good quarterback, and I think from a personnel standpoint, fellas, I think it's the fit for them, and I'd really be surprised if that wasn't the pick.
All right, you shot down my notion of making the offense as good as humanly possible, and you think the defensive player is the way to go. If they were going to go edge rusher, give me your rankings right now of the top.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's two guys I really like a lot. One is Quiddy Pay from Michigan, who's a hard-charging, really good pass rusher. But if I'm the Giants, I'm going to give the slight edge to Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, because he's a little bit better, in my opinion, playing in space. If we know one thing about Joe Judge, he comes from the Bill Belichick school, and I've worked for Coach Belichick twice, guys. And on defense, it's versatility, versatility, versatility. And Ojulari, in my opinion, is a little bit better of a player in space. And I know Patrick Graham's done a great job with the Giants. I thought that defense was markedly improved as the season went on. And I just think that Ojulari is a little bit of a better fit for them.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, with the Jets, once you get past the second pick, you get that second first-round pick you got from Seattle, what do you go next? Is it offensive line? What do you do next if you're Joe Douglas?
Yeah, I think the Jets are desperate for premium players at pass rush, at corner, and until they get multiple players at that position, you got to throw as many resources at that, in my opinion, as possible. So I think a guy like Newsom from Northwestern could possibly be there. This Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech is very interesting. He's a great athlete, former receiver. He's been hurt. He opted out, just had back surgery. That would be a concern. But if I'm the Jets, I couldn't get enough pass rushers or corners.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, I've heard rumblings that the Cowboys are in love with the tight end out of Florida. How can you possibly – I mean, your offense is so good anyway. You have a million weapons. You have a good quarterback. You have a running back who's very good. The backup running back is good. Could you possibly explain away with that defense that you would take the tight end?
Yeah, there's no way they can do that. I mean, there's a team that would lose every game 49-48. And, you know, Dan Quinn, who's a good friend, and I just revere as a coach, is their new defensive coordinator. I think he's going to do a great job, but, you know, they have one good corner on the outside, Trevon Diggs, who they drafted in the second round from Alabama last year. I just think it's really necessary for them to draft defense, despite how great I think Kyle Pitts will be.
Mike, if you're Atlanta, do you draft a quarterback at four, or do you look to maybe potentially move back with a team like Denver?
You know, Rick, I would draft Trey Lance. I think there's something really intriguing about him. I think he's going to be a great player. And if I'm Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot, their new GM, I'm trying to build something for the next 10 years. And I think Trey Lance has compelling upside. And, you know, Matt Ryan's a lot closer to the end than he is the beginning.
As timely as we were this morning, and we were very timely, calling you exactly promptly at 7:35, you were ready and raring to go. Sounded like you had a great deal of energy. Is that accurate?
I did. Absolutely. Yeah. I take X2 every day, which you can get at x2performance.com, and it's all natural, healthy, no crash, no jitters. A lot of pros use it, and I appreciate you asking.
Well, we appreciate the time that you give us every week. Mike, we're getting close to the draft. We will talk to you next week.
Great. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right, there you have it. That is Mike Tannenbaum, who will make the cut if we decide to trim the fat in the 7 o'clock hour with some of these guests.
He's a potential first overall pick. What do you mean?
Overall? I don't know that. I mean, I love David Quinn.
No, I love David Quinn, too.
So you're going to a Buster only?
Yeah, but I mean, all in with Mike T, right? We've had him in studio.
I love Mike.
He sent us, I mean, he says he sent us X2.
He did?
We text back and forth with him. He's up at 4 o'clock in the morning retweeting things for the show.
He is?
I mean, I go up and down the list.
Fan. You know what would be nice? Here's what would be nice. If when you start to build the relationship with Schefter, if you get him to try to get some juice about the show out there, maybe an Adam Schefter tweet. He has millions of followers.
Yeah, I know. But now, see, this is now you're going to jeopardize the relationship. It's too early on to start asking him to do this.
I understand that. I'm saying you work your way to say, Adam, could you do me like at the end of, say you have a very expensive dinner. The bill come. I don't know what expensive is to you. What's an expensive dinner to you?
$52.
Come on. What is it?
Oh, it's $400? Sushi. I mean, you've had sushi before. I mean, you know, it depends.
So you're looking at $460.
No, for two people?
Yeah. If he drinks, come on. I see him as
we're
a
hoping he drinks.
Draft,
we're hoping
he's going to need to drown his sorrows.
Exactly right. But this is what I was going to say to you. Maybe what I do is, you know, all of a sudden now, we start doing some sake bombs. Get them all banged up. And that's when I say, hey, Shefty, do me a solid quick. Could you just, you know, tweet out something about DCR?
Love it. Love it.
That's what we need. That's what I think I could be able to do.
That's right. If you're not listening, you're making a tremendous mistake. If you're not following them on Twitter, you're making a tremendous mistake. He has it could be a seismic shift. He has millions of followers.
He'd be huge. It would be huge for us. Like he's breaking news. Like he's breaking news to people that DCR is a must.
He has more followers than I even thought. Guess how many followers he has?
He's got 2.4 million.
You ready?
More than that.
8.3 million wow. Followers.
Do you see how many followers The Rock has on Instagram?
No.
Try to guess how many followers The Rock has.
I'm going to say 24 million.
Come on. Be serious.
Well, I don't know. I am.
That was your serious guess?
Yeah.
He's got 228 million.
What?
228 million followers.
He has a quarter of a billion people following him.
Yes.
That's like the entire country. How many people are in this country?
Isn't that crazy?
Why would you say that was a bad guess? I thought when you said that, I actually thought it was going to be lower.
How many followers does Kylie Jenner have on Instagram?
Kylie Jenner. I mean, I'm going to say 275 million.
It's too high. 225 million.
That's a lot.
That is,
who has the most?
The most? The Rock might be.
Well, you just said she has more.
No, The Rock has 200. Did I say 228 million?
Oh, I thought you said 223. All right, so 228 he has? And she's 225?
He's got 228. She's got 225.
How about, I think Lady Gaga has a lot, doesn't she?
I'm going to tell you right now. Look up. Ariana Grande has a lot. I think Ariana Grande is number one on the list. I'll tell you
what
right
is
now.
Is she over three?
Ariana Grande has 231 million followers.
231. So The Rock is neck and neck with her.
Neck and neck right there.
Yeah.
Kylie Jenner's got the 225. Selena Gomez has 221 million.
So she's right there too.
Try to guess the athlete that currently has.
All right. I'm going to say it's an international athlete. I'm going to go with Ronaldo.
Ronaldo, final guess?
Yes.
It is not Ronaldo.
By the way, Canty has never been more off base than his take on Jeopardy. Aaron Rodgers is sensational as the host of the show.
Well, yeah, because there's a reason. I mean, there's a reason why they're really they're considering, like, he could leave football to be the host of Jeopardy.
He's great.
I think you were right, by the way. I think you were right. I think I was wrong.
Ronaldo?
I think Ronaldo has the most.
How many does he have?
Right now, I'm looking at an article right now. I got to check the Instagram. It says he's got 261 million.
Wow. So that would be the most on the entire platform, maybe.
Cristiano Ronaldo. I apologize to Ronaldo. He's got 276 million.
Woo! Is that the most on the entire Instagram platform?
I don't know. I hate when you ask me questions like that. I'm not 100%
sure. I thought you had it in front. He said, I'm looking at an article. All right, cutting your wireless bill in half feels good. Get 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month. That's up to 50% less than the other guys. Straight Talk Wireless. All right, so I found it interesting that Mike Tenenbaum said, no, I'm not. I don't need to give Daniel Jones more. He has enough. He's got to prove it. He's a big boy at this point. I'm going to go defense. I think the Giants fan, if they went with Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle, would be perfectly fine. I'm surprised that he had that take.
Yeah, I don't think a Giants fan would blink twice if that was the case. I think most Giants fans feel like if some talent around Daniel Jones is good, more is better.
Right? When he said like he was so emphatic, I thought he was going to say, of course I would be a fan of taking, you know, Slater or Sewell or, you know, one of the big receivers. And he was completely opposed to that. He says, absolutely, I go in the other direction.
See, that surprises me, too, from him. Because when he said numerous times, too, when his draft history, he brings up the break of shot, how important the offensive line is for him. And if you could, at 11, if you could all of a sudden, if Slater's sitting there at 11 or somehow, some way.
Right?
Yeah, it's, again, I don't, that's, I get the weapons thing. They it feels like to a certain degree they've addressed that. But I don't know any more times we have to hear how important the offensive line is. And it doesn't matter how much talent you have or how good your quarterback
right,
is.
If you can't keep the quarterback upright, then what's the difference?
Exactly right.
Can you sit here and tell me right now, oh, by the way, and this is, you're going to be very excited by this. You know what's coming your way at 8:45 this morning?
What?
Mel Kiper on KJZ.
Of course.
Of course. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think Mel likes us very much.
I think it's you, actually.
Why would he not like me? I actually just made pumpkin pie bars yesterday.
I think you're very polarizing. Like, Adam Schefter really takes to you, and I think guys like Mel Kiper, for some reason, just don't care for you.
Well, that's because I hold him accountable for his ridiculous takes sometimes.
So how about this, by the way, speaking of pumpkin pie? So we get the dogs on Sunday, and they tell us that we have to give them canned pumpkin, right, for their digestive system. I go into the store yesterday. I said, I don't know where the canned pumpkin is. And I'm a pretty good shopper. I said, excuse me, can you point me in the direction of the canned pumpkin? He goes, new dog? I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah. I guess this is a thing.
Of course it's a thing.
I guess.
Did you find the canned pumpkin?
He's like, new dog? So they gobbled it down. They loved it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the pumpkin puree is delicious.
I got a great tweet from a high-ranking ESPN official. Only Instagram has more followers than Ronaldo.
Yeah, that's what I didn't want to say that just because the article I read isn't up to date. Like I told you, it says 261. That's not up to date with how many Ronaldo has. He's got the 276, but on that list, it's Instagram and then right below it, Ronaldo.
Wow! So he's competing with the entire company,
entire
right
platform.
There. Yeah.
That's a whole different level, though. I mean, those guys, like Ronaldo and Messi, is a whole different. Like until you actually go over there, and experience how important soccer is, like you don't understand the kind of celebrity.
No, it's different level. Now, RJ, before I do this, I want to confirm I'm allowed to do this.
You are. The embargo is lifted.
Okay, because the last thing I want to do is get into Mel's mock draft and then have Mel call us and scream at us.
That'd be a start, though. I'd love him to call.
Yeah, well, please, Mel, any time. All right, you ready? Here's
ready.
Mel's mock draft. Jaguars, 1, Trevor Lawrence. Jets, 2, Zach Wilson. Niners agreeing with Mike Tenenbaum, 3, Mac Jones. Dolphins move up to 4 and take Kyle Pitts.
Wow.
Yeah. Bengals address the offensive line, Penei Sewell. Falcons still get the quarterback of the future with Trey Lance at 6 from Miami. Detroit, 7, Jamar Chase. Panthers, 8, Devontae Smith. Broncos, 9, Micah Parsons. The Cowboys and Patriots make a deal, at which the Patriots take Justin Fields, 10, and the Giants at 11. You ready? Jalen Waddle, 11 for the Giants.
I like that a lot.
I don't know how you couldn't.
I mean, you're talking about a whole different element with that offense. I know they took a flyer on John Ross, but because of his speed.
Yeah, but you're not relying on John Ross.
No. No, but I mean, I think that would complement what you have. You know what I mean? Like with the three different wide receivers, it would complement what you have.
So now I got Shepard, I got Slayton, I got Galladay, I got Waddle, and I have Evan Ingram, and I have Barkley.
Oof. That's scary.
That is terrifying. Patrick Surtain, 12 to the Eagles. Chargers get Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern at 13. Cowboys, who would pick 15, would get J.C. Horn with that selection. Oh, let me go down to the Jets at 23. Greg Newsom, cornerback from Northwestern.
Ooh, that's what Mike T
that's
said.
That's what Mike T just said. Absolutely. 100% it is.
Let
so
me
there
ask
you go.
Okay, continue.
No, that's it. I was just going to say Mel Kiper on KJZ at 8:45 this morning.
2020, highest paid athlete.
From endorsements and everything?
Highest paid, yeah.
Jan Blachowicz.
Nope.
No?
That's incorrect.
Jan Blachowicz. He got a lot, though, didn't he?
Quite a bit, yeah.
Highest paid, I'm going to say Ronaldo.
No, Roger Federer.
Really?
$106.3 million.
Good for him. And he didn't even play in 2020.
It's just that, man. The endorsements.
Wow. Good
I don't
him.
Like him and not... I don't know how you feel about it. Not him, not Nike bothers me for some reason.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. All right, I want to give him enough time so he doesn't yell at me like he did yesterday. Santi, 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars of DCR, number 3.
Did I yell at you yesterday?
Yeah, you were nasty.
Yeah, you were
nasty. I'm very sensitive. Felt like yelling.
Okay. Anyway, I'll try to be quick about this. I've noticed Rick's attitude improved as the show went on. So I am going to side with you, Dave, and make the star number 3 Rick's attitude, which got better, but I'm blaming it on the baby poop from Rocco that somehow ended up on his person.
All over him. All over him.
So
it's a smear.
I'm glad you feel better and the smell is gone, Rick.
Thank you.
Number 2.
Number 2, the great Don LaGreca. We appreciate him calling in and offering his wisdom and, having some fun. And I hope everything goes well with Mom's vaccination today. And I'll talk to you later tonight, Donnie, for the Rangers broadcast. Rangers Devils right here, 98.7 ESPN.
Number one,
didn't get enough mention from you guys today. I said this in the pre-show meeting. The New York Knicks, back-to-back nights defeating the last two NBA champions. I mean, you can say whatever you want. That's factually correct. They beat the last two NBA champions on back-to-back nights, and that's something to be proud of for the New York Knicks.
We're protecting you, Ray. We're protecting you.
What do you mean we didn't talk about it enough? We spent well over an hour on the show talking about the Knicks
today.
Yeah,
but you didn't mention that particular point.
Oh, my God. Yes, they beat the last two NBA champions. Congratulations to the Knicks. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, Plague of Champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.